Hello and welcome to another episode of CX Conversations. This is your host Vivek, bringing you CX lessons from CX leaders from around the world. Today I'm talking about my favorite subject in CX, how to use NPS to measure, manage, and improve CX in fintech. I am a big proponent of NPS for several reasons, its simplicity being the top one. It is perhaps the one business metric that has seen the biggest growth in adoption since its inception in 2003. Interestingly, it has become a key metric for startups too, and fintech companies are using it to drive customer experience. Answering how NPS can be used to measure, manage, and improve CX in fintech is our guest today, Hemant Tathod. Hemant is currently the Director of Customer Success at Neo Solutions, a fast-growing fintech that on the one hand provides new-age forex solution to international travelers and on the other hand delivers an easy-to-use salary account for blue-collar workers across India. Hemant is a business leader with a passion for delivering what next and improving on what now. Growing up, Hemant has been an avid footballer. He is also a trained scuba diver. As a sports and adventure enthusiast, Hemant applies many of his learnings from sports into team building and business management too. With an experience of over 17 years across diverse industries spanning FMCG, banking, and HR tech, Hemant is a seasoned all-rounder. He has played pivotal roles in sales, marketing, product management, product innovation, and customer delight in companies like Gillette, Standard Chartered Bank, Barclays, and the latest one being at PeopleWorks, an HR tech startup where Hemant was a part of the founding team, helping to grow it to more than 70,000 users. Hemant truly believes that delivering great customer experience is critical for building a sustainable and profitable business. I'm super delighted to be hosting him on CX Conversations today. Hemant, welcome to CX Conversations. Thanks for making the time for this.
Thank you so much, Vivek, for having me here.
Thank you. So before we get started, to all of my listeners, I must also make a disclaimer that Neo Solutions is our client and I work closely with Hemant on NPS implementation at Neo. So Hemant, you've worked with large corporates like Gillette, Standard Chartered, and Barclays, and with startups also recently. Tell us how you made this transition and what were the most difficult hurdles to get over when you started working with startups?
Yes, sure. Thank you once again, Vivek, for inviting me to this conversation. And yes, for warm-ups, I have spent the early part of my career in MNCs. This was after my MBA and learned a lot of solid, scalable processes, worked with very big and very soon realized and understood that we need to pursue our passions along with work. So it definitely helped me a lot in improving the performance at work for myself and while working in the teams. While pursuing my passions, which you were mentioning earlier, the time away from work allowed me to take the decisions, to take new directions and fresh challenges that a startup job entails. And that's how I landed with an opportunity in the startup world. The second part of your question, in terms of the transition, fortunately for me, it was not very difficult, maybe because of the leader with whom I was working with, who understood my background, gave me the time to settle down. As far as the learnings are concerned during the transition phase, definitely a lot many. So obviously, you need to get align yourself very quickly to the broader vision, because in generally in the large multinationals, you are working in pretty much in the silos. Secondly, you have to be ready to learn and most importantly, actually unlearn. And definitely we need to embrace the fear by preparing for the unexpected because as we all know, the success rates are very, very less in startup world. And finally, it's not a 9-to-5 job for anybody who wants to take up a role in a startup ecosystem because you are on all the time. So fortunately for me, I never found these as hurdles but enjoyed every bit of it.
Great. That's an amazing journey. Let's start talking about today's topic now. Given that Neo has such a diverse product portfolio, and hence I'm sure it also has a very diverse customer base, could you share how you use NPS to measure CX for both the products?
Yes, sure. Our journey with NPS here at Neo had been a recent one. let's say, a couple of quarters or so. So here at Neo, we have primarily two customer segments, and I would call them two different sides of the spectrum altogether. So one segment is a global card holders. These are all digital savvy people, people who want to travel the world, explore new places. For this kind of customer segment, we request them to share their experiences after they have completed the journeys through the email. While there is another side of the spectrum, which is a blue collar segment, for whom we issue payroll cards, they are definitely very, very low on smartphone usage. Therefore, SMS is the useful way of gathering the feedback for them. Now, we use a tool, Omoto, to measure the NPS, and we also capture the feedbacks from these customers, which provides us insight, good, bad, or ugly, about our products, about our processes, and how we have managed their expectations.
Nice. That's interesting. So tell us what happens once you've received the customer feedback. Also, share which all internal teams are engaged in managing the NPS feedback workflow.
So once we have received the feedback, first and foremost thing, what we do is we have a team dedicatedly working on NPS, and they are earmarked and budgeted for that. We thank each and every customer for the feedback by calling them. If they are the promoters, we also take this opportunity of speaking to them by guiding them to the ways to promote or recommend our product. If they have rated us low, that is the detractors we are talking about, we try to understand in detail what are the problems they faced, which we could not solve. And if we have to earn their recommendation in the future, what is that we need to do? The second important thing what we do is basically we tag these NPS results so that we can segment and categorize them. That's how we learn the top reasons why people love us or hate our product or services. We prioritize by creating a feature list to address our weak areas, our opportunity areas, and then over time, we watch how these feedbacks for these particular segment is improving. Third thing is we close loop by identifying the functions. The functions could be sales, marketing, product, customer experience team across the organization who would be working on this. And once these functions or functional teams have taken a corrective action on these feedbacks, we track them to check whether we are improving on the scores on these areas or not.
I'm just curious, Hemant, how do you do this tagging of the responses that you receive from your customers to your internal functions?
At this point of time, it's a manual process. The reason being, more than the absence of a tool, the reason is that we want this dedicated team of NPS to go through or scan through or eyeball through each and every response we are getting from the customers. And that is how we broadly, based on the categories, we tag them to the function teams.
All right. I was actually meaning, if you have a certain set of rules or principles basis which you assess that, okay, this feedback has to be tagged to sales versus another feedback that needs to be tagged to product. Do you have such guidelines for your NPS teams?
Yes. Basically, the feedback gathered is across the cycle. So right from the time the customer onboarding happened, how was the experience, to the actual transactions the customer did, and then finally, if they faced any issues using our product, unfortunately, how had been their interactions with our team. Based on these responses across these functions is how we tag the relevant teams for the appropriate action thereon.
Makes sense. So could you also share how you keep different teams within Neo informed about the customer feedback that you collect? Because you've talked about a lot of tagging and you've mentioned that there is a team that is manually assessing and identifying which feedback has to be associated to whom. But I'm sure there would be some mechanism through which you are circulating these feedbacks to the respective teams. From a communication standpoint, what are the things that you're doing and how are you keeping the entire teams informed about these feedbacks?
Sure. So as I explained earlier, after this team does a deep dive scanning and analyzing of the information, this information is shared on a fortnightly basis across the various functions, which I have mentioned earlier. It goes into a tracker, which is monitored by the management team on a weekly basis. And basically, all the actionables which are derived based on the analysis are tracked for close-looping the feedback. So respective teams are supposed to commit the timelines for the closure. And post-implementation of this, the improvement areas, we look at the score progress to measure the feedback. because now the culture is that each and every feedback what we get from the customer, and therefore any step which we take internally here at a product level or at a customer experience teams level has to result ultimately into the improvement of the score.
That's nice. So when you said that this is being shared by your NPS team on a fortnightly basis, have you also seen, or are you guys also ensuring that this is brought up in management meetings? And if it is, what kind of discussions are happening, without obviously giving us too much of the info? But if you could just share, how do you initiate discussions on what's going on with the NPS and the customer feedback?
Sure. So thankfully and fortunately, unlike a lot of other organizations, here at NIO, our founders and everybody in the leadership team are very clued on and bought into this concept of NPS. And everybody realizes that the whole existence, I mean, the purpose of our existence is the customer. So VOC matters a lot, and it is right from the top to each and every person in different function. Now, with NPS realizes that whatever they do is important from a customer standpoint. Having said that, therefore, the management or the leadership team reviews the progress on a weekly basis through a tracker, and wherein the progress is tracked. While the information and in the monthly reviews, the leadership team again discusses and sees the progress made based on the steps we have taken on the actionables.
Wow, that's awesome. So thanks for sharing that, Hemant. What are some of the changes you've observed at NIO since implementing NPS?
Yeah, a couple of them, in fact. And it's very surprising, actually, the speed with which it has made an impact. And it also probably goes because of the DNA of the company. 75% of our employee population is much, much younger, somewhere less than 30 years of age. And the teams within NIO are an energized workforce now, because a lot of our town halls, we discuss and we display our NPS scores for these two different customer segments. Whether the team is customer facing or not, everyone realizes and is very sensitive towards the fact that whatever they work, they are doing, whether it is a customer facing app or a backend platform they are working on, their work impacts the customer experience and how customer perceives us. So definitely the first visible impact is the culture. Second, on a product front, now everything starts first keeping the customer in mind. The customer touch points are made much simpler, be it the app or the IVR. So that's how the NPS has sensitized everyone. Every new feature ideas are prioritized based on the customer liking. And when you're talking about the customer liking, a lot of these are in fact coming in from the NPS feedback which we are gathering nowadays. So one of our product, for example, Global Cards, we have an NPS score of 75, which already is considered good as per the industry benchmarks. And across the board, the team is energized to ensure that we better this in the next quarter. So that's how NPS has made an impact to rally behind it together.
Nice. So what I'm hearing from you is three things. First, of course, it has had an impact on the culture at NIO, where you're now looking at everything from the customer's perspective. The second thing was about how you're prioritizing what has to happen in the product that is being fed from the customer's feedback that you're receiving on your NPS surveys. And the third thing is about how your team is energized about keeping the NPS high and not just keeping it where it is, but also improving on what you are delivering right now by, again, looking at the customer's feedback and perhaps building certain ways of exceeding the customer's expectation. Am I right in that?
Yes, definitely.
Wow, that's awesome. So thanks for sharing that once again, Hemant. Now time for some rapid fire questions.
Sure.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Perfect. So which business leader do you follow and what have you learned from him or her?
Okay. So yes, I mean, without a second thought, Steve Jobs, certainly. I'm not tired of listening or watching to his videos and few of his very inspiring speeches again and again. Learnings are many from him. And a lot of these we have already heard of, such as, you know, it's never too early to get started. Obstacles are the opportunities to succeed. And the most famous quote we all know is connecting the dots. And yes, who can forget the speech he gave at Stanford University saying, you know, always remember that you are not immortal.
True. Good. So which is the one book you would recommend someone and why?
The one book which I was reading recently, is Outside In. I was very impressed by the way the book has been presented. I would like to share two highlights of this book. The first one is, you know, the set of frameworks it provides to act as a guideline or the checklist for action needed in the area which we are working upon. Another benefit of this book is the large number of case studies it has quoted. It definitely helps to understand the theoretical part of it mentioned in various sections, wherein they have tried to apply these frameworks actually being put in the practice by the companies.
Great, great. That's an amazing book. So which startup do you admire for their customer focus and the kind of customer experience it delivers? Apart from Neo, let me just say that.
Yes, definitely. So yes, I mean, as far as Neo is concerned, I still believe that we have to do a lot. Though no more a startup, I love the experience with Uber personally. The reason that, you know, the whole functional experience while using the app is very, very simple and transparent. A lot of us have ourselves experienced that their help section is very, very non-complicated. They have such a maturity in the product that they never felt a need to build a call center even in a market like India. And it has been working very beautifully for them. And also for the fact that I've also chosen not to evolve and to stay as they were. This is what basically impresses me a lot about Uber. A lot to learn from them.
To any startup you would want to give a shout out to?
I use Zomato a lot. And I think something similar, not to that scale as I was explaining to Uber, but I love the experience of using the app there and the whole of experience from booking for dining to the end of booking experience. So the whole journey, I love the app a lot.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that was amazing, Hemant. With that, we've come to the end of this podcast. I'd like to thank you once again for being a part of CX Conversations.
Thank you very much, Vivek, once again for having me. I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks, Hemant. And to all our listeners, this is Vivek signing off from CX Conversations. Until next time, bye-bye.